Mini episode 1707 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge Mini Episode 1707. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with one of our favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, our good pal, 10-time author and Sportsology proprietor, Russ Cohen. And we have him on, not always, but more often than not, we're talking hockey. We actually are on this occasion with the NHL All-Star break right about here. We are looking at the stretch run for the 2023-2024 NHL season and doing an analysis of it, and some things that we got right, some things that we got wrong, and some of the things we think about the rest of the way going through the season here. So, Russ, as always, great to have you on, my man.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I hate to be wrong. I mean, it's impossible to be wrong when you're picking preseason, but yeah, we did, and you know, that's what happens.
We did, and that's where I, you know, first and foremost, when you're looking at the team that, as we're speaking, would at least be tied for the President's Trophy, Boston, we were looking at a fall off after last year, because let's face it, what they did during the regular season, that level of dominance anyways, really seemed kind of inexplicable, especially for a team that, when you look at it going into the season, look to be probably slightly past the sell-by date of that run, as we had said at the time. Lo and behold, it's like either A, it never happened to them, the way that they got run out of the playoffs with the big choke against Florida in the spring, or B, they've been able to weaponize that as motivation. But either way, you or I didn't see it coming that seemingly they'd pick up where they left off in the regular season last year, at least to some degree. They're not as dominant, but more so than either of us thought they were going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I mean, that's what's good about this NHL season is that you look at these teams and you're like, yeah, you know, we think some of them are going to be good. We don't think others are going to be good. And, you know, we get snake bitten.
Yeah. And, you know, in looking at the Atlantic Division there, again, the top four teams, I think, you know, us and probably the rest of the universe had slotted for making the playoffs. And as of now, I mean, it looks like a decent chance that the top four are going to do that. Florida really kind of picking up where they left off in the postseason last year. Tampa Bay and Toronto with good seasons here to this point. Certainly, the question that I have, not merely because I'm a homer, but I had thought coming into the year, I had thought, and this is even before the Patrick Kane signing, that this might be the year the Red Wings can eke back into the playoffs. Again, probably go out, you know, in the first round. But I'm looking at this now, and particularly when you start looking at some of the advanced metrics, it does kind of back up them having a very good chance of making the playoffs here at this point. So, do you feel that I, as a fan, am right to be fairly optimistic that this is the year of breaking the, I can't even believe I'm saying it, playoff drought for how many years they made it in a row, but it's been a drought ever since that record. You think I'm right to be optimistic?
I think you have a right to be optimistic, but I don't think you're making it. I still think a team like New Jersey will get their stuff together. They got two games in hand and can really be a problem for Detroit. Kane, what, had an injury, so we don't know what he's going to be like. And I feel like Eisenman's going to have to make a move at the deadline just to satisfy the fan base because they do have a chance. So they're in it, but I don't feel great about them.
What's the move? Try and get a goalie?
I mean, everybody wants to try and get a goalie. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull that off. I think they need, like, yeah, I would say, you know, it's funny. You don't think they're scoring a lot, but they are scoring a lot. But I feel like they need still like a veteran bottom six guy. I don't know if it's to score or really just overall good play. I think their defense is probably another area where if they could upgrade it, they would. Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I'm going to go defense.
Okay, interesting. Now, see, I think that New Jersey's going to make the playoffs also, too, but I think they're going to make it over Philadelphia after looking at this Carter Hart situation here. Do you still have Philadelphia making the playoffs in the Metro?
Oh, I never did. No.
Oh, okay.
I never did. They are way over it.
Sure.
Exceeded what I thought they could do. And,
yeah.
And now, certainly, with the way the team is built in net, it's not going to be sustainable. And they were running out of gas even at the deadline because, you know, John Tortorella runs them so hard and they're just missing some talent. So,
yep.
And that's to be expected. So, yeah, I could see that happening. But then there's still a chance that, like, the Islanders or Pittsburgh squeak in there, too. So that's the other part of this. I do think Philly will fall out of it, though.
It, by the way, speaking of Pittsburgh, this is one of these things where for anybody that doesn't believe that I'm a truly tolerant individual, I will say that my best friend is a fan of all Pittsburgh teams. So that ought to tell you I have a lot of charity in my heart right there. But something I'm going to call the attention of my best friend and ask him to explain this to me. As we were going through, and I had sent this to you, you can find us on the main page, everybody, at FantasyDraftHelp.com, the 2024 FDH NHL Stretch Run Breakdown, with a composite of statistical categories, the ones that we have cherry-picked and feel go into the pot here to make the best baked cake at the end of it here as far as a statistical number. One of the elements is shot percentage. Pittsburgh 27th right now. I don't think none of us would have bet on that at the beginning of the year, of all the things, and 31st in power play percentage.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable how bad their power play is with the amount of talent they have. If it even slicks a little bit, it will help them a lot. And yeah, their shooting percentage should be so much better. But, you know, these are things that sort of like make up their malaise right now. But still, they have three games in hand on Detroit.
Yeah.
So they're still a little bit of a threat. But they do have to put some wins together. And, you know, the Islanders are going to have Patrick Wall yelling at them. I don't know if that's going to be enough. But I don't know if Detroit's going to be able to hold it. They're a good home team, but their road situation's not great either.
Yeah, you got the splits there. Well, actually, as I'm looking at this, the thing that makes my blood run cold, as somebody that is a big believer in progression and regression to the mean, yeah, Pittsburgh having those offensive numbers scares me with them being right in the rearview mirror, because that's probably not going to sustain.
It should get better. That's what it tells you, yeah.
Yeah, and that's where. Now, then again, Detroit with a Fenwick 4 percentage of ranking of 30th at this point. I think the Wings are a lot better than that in terms of their puck possession, so conceivably, yeah, that could bounce back, but yeah, I mean, I guess I'm more scared of Pittsburgh progressing to the mean now that I look at it here. But in the Metro, I mean, I think it's basically as we would have anticipated coming into the year. What is getting to be, I think, one of the best rivalries in hockey, and you would know better than me as a Rangers fan how much, if any, bad blood there actually is, but like on ice, between the Rangers and the Hurricanes the last couple of years, that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, I don't think there's a ton of bad blood. I do think it's competitive. I don't think it's bad blood, but I, you know, said a couple of weeks ago, I think Carolina's going to overtake them for the division. I just think the Rangers have to work out some glitches, and Carolina's been running hot. If they come out of the gate running hot again, they can easily win the Metro. That would not shock me at all.
Well, in looking at it, the Rangers are not really bad in any of the statistical categories on this list here. I guess 15th in save percentage is mildly surprising to me, but I mean, yeah, that's still...
Yeah, Shesterkin's not had the year that he would like to have. That's a definite.
Yeah, and Carolina's 30th, which shows me that I think there's some room for progression to the mean there as well.
Yeah, well, they had that point where Anderson was out and they were really struggling. And now it seems like they've gotten it together to some degree.
Yeah. So there is that kind of possibility. But, the Rangers and the Hurricanes, yeah, they are the class of the division, and we knew that coming in. So in the Metro...
I have to mention, though, with the Rangers, the recent practice injury to Filipino putting him out for the year really hurts the Rangers because... They need a center badly. They need a third line center badly, and they may need a little jolt on defense too. I don't know if you could play Eric in 5-on-5 in the playoffs. So that's something to look out for. That's a problem that they're going to have to now overcome that they probably didn't imagine they would have to overcome this year. So that's going to be a big deal for them. We'll see what happens with that and what they can get at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and practice injuries always seem to hit a little bit harder because it's, again, in any sport, it's where you don't expect it to come. And then when it does happen and when it's devastating, it's pretty bad. Really, as we're looking at the Eastern Conference here, the anti-Boston at this point has been New Jersey, a preseason pick by me to win the Stanley Cup, as a lot of people were thinking at this point. But when you're looking at leaky goaltending and some other things that they've had going against them here, New Jersey has been, I think, the biggest disappointment in the league thus far.
Yeah, their goaltending's been brutal. I mean, just flat-out brutal. They need a goalie bad. You know, like we were talking about Carolina, and I like Kochekov a lot, and I, maybe the kid can finally do something. You know, Freddie Anderson has not stayed healthy this year either. But we'll see. But when you look at New Jersey, almost nobody has done well. And that's a big deal. I don't know what's going to happen with that. And I say that what I think is going to happen is they're going to get a goalie, because if they don't, they're going to fall out of it. And they have assets to trade. So I think they're going to be that first team to get a goalie. Because if you notice, they held Jack Hughes out of the All-Star game too, which is smart because they want to make the playoffs.
Yeah. And again, they don't have too much margin of error here at this point if they are going to make the playoffs. But they're right about at the fringe, and they would be very smart to make a move for a goalie. Although, again, as we said when talking about Detroit, there's not a lot to be had out there at this point. But New Jersey has probably the most pressing need of any of the contenders at this point.
I think Eiserman would let it ride. He likes Alex Lyon.
Yes.
You know, he's going to at least let the kid try. He's not a kid anymore, but I know him from when he was in college and then with the Flyers. But I think he's going to let him try and take the reins and see what happens.
Yeah, and that might be the smart thing to do, all things considered, when you look at what the trade market ends up being and when you look at what you might have to give up to get somebody. In the Western Conference, in the Central Division, much as I as a Wings fan wouldn't want to see it, I'm not at all surprised to see Colorado in first place here at this point, Dallas nipping at their heels. The real surprise ultimately in this division is Winnipeg. They're a team that I was high on a couple of years ago. I was kind of high on them a little longer than you were. You were right, by the way, that they were going to kind of fade from that high point that they had a couple of years back.
Yeah, but this year I picked them for the playoffs. So I did rebound this year and looked at things and picked them. I what you said is totally accurate for the last few years, but I picked them for the playoffs this year because they had gotten over, if you remember, the salary issues with Hellebuck.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they got Blake Wheeler out of the locker room, and that change has been good for them. So I was high on Winnipeg, and I'm high to the point where I think they have a chance to make it to the conference finals at least.
I think they do as well, and I've always, part of the reason is, and part of the reason that, like I said, I kind of stayed on them past their last peak longer than a lot of people did, is I've always been a Hellebuck guy. I've always thought that he's had this kind of year in him, and this is him at his peak this year. I will say, this is one of the interesting things in looking at the numbers. There are always just a handful of things whenever I do one of these breakdowns that will kind of amuse me, of just the weird things that pop out at me. And for Winnipeg, as great as they've been, and almost equal ineptitude on both sides of special teams, 24th in power play and penalty kill at this point. It's kind of hard to be both and have a good team.
I think they're the best 5-on-5 team, though. Or
yeah.
One of them.
Yes, they are.
And so that's something where that's how you can overcome that.
Yes.
And that's how they're doing it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you could go that way. I mean, the Bruins won a Stanley Cup having one of the worst power plays too. So it's been done.
Here's the thing, though. But it feels fluky because it just, I'm sure you've seen more of them this year than I have, but I mean, they don't scream super deep offense, do they? Like, you would think that
no,
they would
but
be better.
They're big. They're okay. big, and guys like Shifley are there, and Eros is having a good year. And,
yeah.
You know, Profetti is finally not injured. And so, you know, those guys, and Connor, Kyle Connor is having an amazing year. He did get hurt for a little while. But,
yep.
So it's enough right there. That's
right.
A pretty good amount of offense. And Josh Morrissey on that blue line is really talented, too.
Oh, sure, sure. But you just named most of their key contributors. So that's a team where you'd look at where you'd think the power play would be better than the 5-on-5, but it's been the other way around. So
I know. It doesn't make sense. But I can tell you the team that I think is the best right now in the NHL today, this moment, is Colorado, and they still could get better. You know, saw them recently here in Philly. Just, you know, Georgiev does exactly what he's supposed to do. He does his job. So whether he gives up 2 goals or 3 goals, they could overcome that. So that's one thing. So that's a big deal. And you watch, they have McCarr. They have McKinnon, I think, is on an MVP pace. He's going to have a real chance at that. And they might get Landeskog back. It's a long shot, but they might.
Yeah.
And then they're probably going to trade for center. You know, they may be the team that ends up getting Monahan because doubtful that the Rangers will be able to get Monahan. By the way, first overall pick, Macklin Celebrini sets up the goal for Boston College to tie it with like a minute to go. So he's got a couple points tonight, and Northeastern was up 4-3. That's 3-2, rather, so now it's 3-3. So, yeah, Celebrini showing his stuff.
Glad you told me this was on. I got it on, too.
Yeah, back to Colorado, though. I have to say they're impressed the hell out of me. I mean, their blue line's good. Everything's good. Power play's insane. You know, him and Rantanen are just an unbelievable, you know, this is as good as McDavid, Draisaitl. So they have a lot going for them, and they're one of the best home teams, 20-5. So, I mean, that's a big deal.
It's a thing where they seem easier to sum up than almost anybody in the league because I'm looking at this 23rd in save percentage, 19th in goals against. If they can get at least middle of the pack goaltending, they can probably outscore other teams enough to win it all, you would think.
Yeah, and Dallas has a chance. Look, Dallas can be a team that really could.
Yeah, Dallas also.
Because they're strong. It's going to, you know, ride on Ott and Jared Pavelski's getting a little older. Haskinen, if he's out, that really hurts him. But Thomas Harley has really stepped up on D, one of their first rounders from a couple of years ago. So, you know, and Niels Lundqvist, I was looking at him the other day, the former Ranger, doing pretty well for them. So that was good that they got him. And, you know, so they're getting by with that defense. They might try and fortify that as a deadline. But I'm going to tell you, a team that I'm pronouncing dead is the LA Kings. They're just on such a bad run lately.
Okay.
And even their home record, 8-9-6, like that's kind of pathetic, you know? It's like,
yeah,
you can't keep going into overtime and hoping that that's good, especially the second half of the season. They don't have goaltending. Talbot looked great early in the year, and he held that for a while. Now it's gone bad. They're another team that needs goaltending. Not everybody's going to be able to get goaltending, so I think they may come up short on that. And so, like, you're going to be like, well, who the hell can come in there? And, you know, the Blues have been coming on lately. And I like Bennington. I always have liked him. He's having a good year. Brayden Schenn has really stepped up since becoming captain. And the Blues may be getting their stuff together. Even though they're a minus 11 now, you know, they're 6-3-1 in their last 10. They have a good home record. They're a good home team. That could really help them. That's a big deal. And then Nashville, surprisingly, is hanging in there. And I know Nashville has done this before. Because they have the kind of fan base that wants to believe they can make the playoffs, they'll probably sell and buy. You
okay.
know, I can see them doing both with Trotz and rolling the dice. And if UC Saros were to get hot, he could be the difference maker here. And, you know, I'm going to count Edmonton in, even though I bailed on them. But they went on such a heater that, you know, still in their last 10-0. And what did they win, 15 in a row so far?
Yeah.
Or 14 or 15. And so, yeah, I mean, they really got back in it. I wasn't sure if they would be able to do it because I thought, well, what if they lose a few games? But they haven't. So they really have just about solidified themselves a spot. But the thing is, Colorado. I'm not Colorado. I'm not a big Vancouver guy. I do like that everybody's healthy. You know, I like Besser. I like Hughes. I like what's his name in net? Thatcher Demko a lot.
Yeah. Uh huh.
You know, there's things, and JT Miller is having just an unbelievable year. There's a lot of guys that I like, but, you know, Vegas is kind of like just hanging in the balance there. They had goaltending issues because of injury. 18-5 at home is a great record for Vegas. It's as good as the Canucks are 18-4-2 at home. And the Canucks, even though they're plus 59, they're pretty wild. They could go, like, have a 4 or 5 goal differential game, and then, you know, they could have a game where they lose 5-1 too. They're, but Vegas seems more consistent to me, and because they, you know how to win, they don't probably care if they win the division. I think they have enough confidence, and they'll definitely make a move at the deadline because they don't care about the future.
Yeah.
They never have.
Right.
And so I would worry about Vegas a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, veteran team, knows how to get it done, no question about it. A lot to unpack there with some of the other things you were saying. I will say that that's very interesting perspective about Los Angeles, because if you're just looking at the advanced metrics, they seem to be fairly impressive at this point, and they came out actually 10th overall in our composite metric that we have. So your eyeball kind of assessment of them is very, very interesting.
They just seem like dead man walking. They just seem like a team that's in free fall that I don't know if they could stop it. If you stop a free fall, the way to do it is either with good goaltending or good defense. You don't really have either.
Well, and this is the kind of philosophical thing that I like to get into from time to time here, as far as like eyeball test versus the metrics versus what I'm about to say about Edmonton. I will say that our colleague, FDH Lounge dignitary Ben Chu, he and I have gotten into debates / discussions on air and off air. He's not the believer I am in progression and regression to the mean. He thinks that that's a little bit of superstition. But you look at what Edmonton has done, how much it's like they've been shot out of a cannon after that start that they had. And I go back a couple of years. The year that St. Louis, and I'll have something to say about them in a second here, when they finally got off the schneid, when they finally stopped being the big playoff choker and they won it all in 2019, weren't they like in, didn't they have the worst record in the league when they busted out Gloria for the first time? I think they did. They were like,
at that time when they busted out Gloria, they did. It's just people are forgetting that they didn't, the run started before most people think. They didn't think,
okay.
You know, that they, that's the only thing. Like, people think that they did it, like, I don't know, the last month, and it was really
starting. No, you can't make up that much ground in a month, but I mean, they had, I think, in December, the worst record in the league, and that's the year they won it. And honestly, if you would have showed me all of those seasons and just did a blind taste test, pick out the year they won it all, I would have said the year that they would have been in last place in December and came back to make the playoffs, because to me, that's how these things work. And like Edmonton, like the fact that they were freakishly poor at the beginning of the season, freakishly so. It was. I had the sense of it. It's the same thing where I'm looking at Pittsburgh, especially after you reminded me of this here about that. Again, they're due to get it going offensively, and especially on the power play, and they really are.
Doesn't mean they will. Though.
Doesn't mean they will.
They could be the disappointing team. They really can be.
They could be. But it's like, I am a believer in that precept. So I look at this with Edmonton, and I am completely unsurprised. Because I would have expected Edmonton to go on a superhuman run out of pulling out of that, and they have. That's how they got themselves back into it.
Yeah, I mean, they really have. So we'll give them credit for that. But I just think the Kings, everything sort of has been skidding for weeks, and there's nothing to show that there's any end in sight.
Well, here's what I want to bring up about St. Louis, and this is a thing where. And you tell me if I'm being slave to a preconceived notion, because I look at this team and they look like a team that is still in the midst of their rebuild. After they went on the selling run, after they decided that the run from 2019 was done, time to go on, you know, St. Louis Blues run 2.0 or whatever they want to call it. Like, they still look like it's, I mean, they're in it because there is that kind of mediocrity at the bottom of the playoff picture here. And that to me is how they're sticking around. I mean, even Arizona's got 49 points as we're taping this, and I can't tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
I was going to say, I have no idea how they're doing it, but like, am I wrong about St. Louis that they're in it just because there's some mediocrity at the bottom of the playoff
picture? No, I think that's a part of it. I think there always has to be some mediocrity to sort of keep you in it, you know? I think that's fair.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just think at the end of the day, because they had won before and because they had been in this circumstance before, that they might be able to do it again. Like, they might actually be up for that.
Right. And that's where, like, I'm looking at the...
Not at all. Just make the playoffs.
I'm looking at the two conferences here, the bottom of the playoff picture, and in the East, you've got Detroit, which, especially since the beginning of the year has started, has really been hot, and Patrick Kane has really... made a difference there. You've got Pittsburgh, who, again, we keep saying is due to turn it on here. New Jersey, who's still very dangerous at this point, if they can, you know, make the goaltending even a little bit less toxic. I'm looking at the bottom of the playoff picture in the East, and it seems like it's more impressive than what we're looking at in the West, by and large.
Yeah, I think so. I think because it's more, I don't know, if it's more like cutthroat. I think the West is shaping up a little better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And we haven't even...
By the way, here's a quote.
Okay.
Patrick Kane should be ready to play after the All-Star break. Like, again, you don't know what his hip is going to be able to handle this year.
Yes.
And so, again, that's going to be up in the air. I think he was doing good when he's in there, but I think it's up in the air.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because I hadn't heard anything to give any kind of whiff of pessimism there. So, yes, that would definitely affect things. If his availability was in more question than the rest of the way than I thought it was going to be. We haven't even addressed Seattle yet, the surprise team from last year in the playoffs. And looking at this now, again, they're one of the teams that's right there on the verge. So process of elimination, I'm guessing if you're saying that the Kings may not make it, then you must feel at least somewhat bullish about Seattle making the playoffs again.
Well, I think they have a chance, but I just think it's an outside chance. I actually think for some reason that Nashville and St. Louis might be the teams that do it.
Okay.
Yeah, because again, I think if I'm right, and plenty of times I'm wrong, it looks like the teams that are having fewer goaltending problems are the issue.
Yeah.
Are the teams that are going to have a chance.
Right.
And it seems like the teams that are, you know, having these goaltending issues are keeping them out of it this year. And so Nashville doesn't have a goaltending issue. And they even have a scar off that they could use if they wanted, who's ripping it up in the AHL. So they're in good shape. And St. Louis, I think, is in good shape with Binnington. So,
yes.
I think, you know, in a weaker conference, I do think, you know, a couple of nice goaltending efforts could do it.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Both of those teams do have that going for them. And I will say, there's no equivalent in the West of the major disappointment that New Jersey is. But if you're looking at the two teams who are probably feeling the most sour right now relative to where they thought they might be, I think we're looking at permafrost country with Minnesota and Calgary.
Yeah, they're done. I mean, Calgary's completely done.
Yeah.
They got three guys that they had to try and trade. So,
yeah.
You know, Lindholm being the number one of them. So, yeah, there's no hope for them. You know, and again, even Arizona, like they're, now that Salt Lake has said we're ready for a team, they could be moving. So,
yeah.
I think that's going to play into it too, unfortunately.
It's very interesting. I would have never thought of Salt Lake as necessarily being this great hotbed that's dying to get hockey there. I'll tell you, I mean, we're talking about
You know what it is, though?
What?
All you have to have is two things. Well, two and a half things. You have to have a halfway decent fan base, which they do. You have to have an available building, which they do, and a new one is coming.
Okay.
And just a billionaire owner, which they have.
Okay. Well,
that's it. That's all you need these days.
Well, and I will also say
The Orioles just got bought, right?
Yes. So. Well, and when you're looking at the makeup of the NHL and the NBA, culturally speaking, you wouldn't have the thing. In the NBA, it's an odd fit, culturally speaking, for the Jazz players that live there, because it's sort of like the ones that live in Green Bay. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
not you've got a bunch of white faces staring at you every time you go to the grocery store. So it's a thing where, at least in hockey, it's not so much a thing of feeling like, you know, an alien in your own land, I guess, culturally. So, you know, there would at least be that kind of fit.
To be fair, though, I've never been there, so I don't know how it is now.
I'm not saying it's unfriendly. I'm not saying people are racist. I'm just talking about how players...
No.
But yeah, players have said, and I get that, right? Okay. Like, you know, if you're in an area that's like 99.9% white, I can see where it's just a weird thing. You know, not anybody that looks like you, but you don't really have that by and large with the NHL. So that's what makes some of these considerations a little bit interesting. I will also say, too, a major population center, and one that has a history of hockey. Didn't Gordie Howe even play there for a bit? Houston. How come they never come up?
I know. They used to come up, but the problem was that even though the current place where the Rockets play can be retrofitted for hockey, like it's already can be done, the owner doesn't really want to own the team. He would rather just kind of rent the building to a different owner. So that's been the holdup there. They haven't found somebody else who actually wants to own the team. You know, the guy there just wants to make more money on a team playing there. That's all.
Ah, okay. Okay. I knew you'd have the answer. You've always got the inside poop on these things. So, okay. As we look down the stretch here in the NHL, as far as any thoughts on things that might happen for the playoffs, any kind of trades that you anticipate might be the case, potential blockbusters, anything for us really to keep our eyes peeled on as we're going the rest of the way?
Yeah, I think one of the blockbusters could be Marc-Andre Fleury. I could see him getting traded out of Minnesota, and I don't know. I named you all the teams he can go to, but I think the Devils would probably be most interested in him, to be honest. It'd be interesting to see if he would do that, knowing that he'd have to play against Pittsburgh, but because I know that's been something that's stopped him in the past.
Yeah.
But there's other teams that could use a goalie, too. I just think he'll be out there. You don't want to hear this, but if he were healthy and they were falling out of it, then Detroit could trade Patrick Kane again. But yeah. I don't think that's going to happen, though, because, like I said, Kane's been out for a little while. He's just making his way back. I don't know if he's going to play enough games for that scenario to happen, but it is possible it could happen. Not much to talk about with the Leafs. I think they're dying on the vine, so to speak, just because of their goaltending. They're another team. Joseph Woll comes back. He's the one that can make them look better.
Yeah.
But it's hard to put everything on a young player like that. The Islanders will do something because they desperately need playoff revenue, so I expect them to do something. I think they still need scoring. They're hoping to get Zach Parise back, and then Zach Parise chose to go to Colorado, so they need somebody else. So they're going to be looking for somebody. The Bruins are going to look for a center. They're probably going to get Lindholm. They're going to be really good if they get Lindholm. And the Panthers, who are having a great year too, as you pointed out, could get somebody too. Tampa might be a little bit of a, not a fake team, but a team that just won't have enough depth to go the route. But Florida certainly could. And Boston, if they got Lindholm up the middle with their goaltending, they're right there. They'll be one of the big-time contenders. So look for that too.
Oh, yeah. Very good points on all those. The only thing I'll say, and I agree with you that in the end, I think it's unlikely that Stevie Y would move Kane, because it's a thing where I'm going to say, like, it's of my two favorite teams in winter sports, the whole discussion around DeBrincat is not as obnoxious as it is around Donovan Mitchell, of where everyone assumes that he's out of Cleveland. But I will say, too, there's enough of that out there. There's enough of that obnoxious chatter there. Like, it's not going to make him want to stay long-term necessarily if the Wings just turn around and flip Kane. You know what I mean? Like, they want to get DeBrincat on an extension. So I think that would probably not be beneficial on that.
That's fair.
And I think Stevie Y knows that. And that's why I think I think to whatever degree he's pushing his chips to the middle of the table this year, as is appropriate. Because I think you're at the point in time on the rebuild when it's time to start doing this and start taking positive steps forward. So it will be very interesting to see, as it will be all over the place here with these playoff races that are going on. But as always, priceless to break it down with you, Russ Cohen. Really appreciate it as always, pal. Thank you so much for being here, buddy.
Anytime, Rick. Always fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is awesome, pal. Thanks so much. And thank you, everybody, for checking out FDH Lounge mini episode 1707.